the word to speak the word to life. It's in the book, look, read the verse, it's right. You can possess the best of the best, and yes, if you confess it, it could be yours unless you don't believe, but we got faith and we speak life. I wish that y'all could see our faith, cause I see prosperity, greatness all over you. Just speak it and God will start showing you. Your ministry is built on faith. Your talent's about to be booked for 12 months straight. See, certain levels was unreachable, but if you just speak it, who am I preaching to? I'm not here to rap, I'm just teaching you. The word works, but first you gotta speak it to. Your life, every goal is still achievable. So believe it, receive it, release it right now.
One word away.
Cause it's only
one word away.
Yeah.
Our life and death.
Put your hands
what
together.
You say.
Affordable mortgages, acres of landlord, I want all of it.
I see
a new job that doubles my salary. I believe God will make it reality.
I see
to sow seed and reap the harvest. It's in the word, I'm a blesser regardless.
I see
a new car, whatever you send to me. But let the gas prices drop tremendously, Lord.
I see
that you bless me abundantly. Give me the strength whenever the enemy comes for me.
And I see
I will pass this test. This is God's work at its best.
I see
wealth in your life.
Everybody, I thank the Lord for another night in this revival season. And I thank God for goodness, His grace, and His mercy. Another day He's given us in the land of the living. So I honor the Lord tonight. Let me see what I'm doing to bring this echo. Amen. Hopefully that'll do it. Amen. Can everybody hear me okay?
Absolutely. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Absolutely.
Tonight, I want to pray for your preachers, and then we're going to get started. Father, we thank you. We glorify you, and we know that you know what you're doing.
Yes, God.
You called us, oh God. Not only have you called us from darkness and into your marvelous light, but you called us to explain and bring leap to your gospel. We ask your God to give us direction, to give us your strength, to give us intelligence and spiritual renewal to be able to minister your word. We'll be careful, God, to give your name the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name.
Yes, God. In Jesus' name.
God bless you, Pastor. How are you?
Outstanding. How are you, Chief?
Oh, can't complain. Can't say nothing.
Don't do it. I'm not going to listen. No way.
I know. You proved it time and time again. Amen.
We are
in the school of the prophet, and I thank God for all of you pastors and bishops and apostles and Tree of Agape Life and Faith Ambassador ministers and those who are aspiring to go into ministry. I thank God for you. Wherever you are, whatever your church is or your religion is, you're safe here. Amen. I was given a question tonight, and I want to address that. This one I can take. All right. Y'all just give me one moment.
Okay.
All right. The question is, my husband doesn't believe in women preaching and forbids me from preaching. Who do I obey, him or God?
Help today, Holy Ghost.
Yeah. Husband does not believe in women preaching. All right. There are a couple of things that you got to deal with. Number one, you're subject to your husband in everything. Your husband is the head of his house, and as long as your husband is equally yoked with you, he can lead you spiritually. And it may be so that you are stronger than your husband is spiritually, just based off of discernment. I'll say that many times our egos can get in the way of the woman of God going forward. In a case where the husband does not believe in women preachers, this is not simply a case where you can just chalk it up, because it's more to it than this. This is an issue of being equally yoked, being trained up together in the Lord. This is an issue of whether or not he's really your husband. Just because you're married to him, that doesn't make him your husband. He's a legal husband.
Thank you, Jesus.
But that doesn't mean he's been anointed to hold or cover you. I'll prove it. Jesus dealt with the woman. John, I think, 4 chapter. And he said, who's your husband? He said, he's over there. That ain't your husband. And neither are the other 5 you've been hearing. I'm exaggerating a little bit. There is a, when it comes to ministry and ministers, this is something that's very sensitive. It's something that's very intricate. It's very important that you're in the will of God. So your husband might not believe right now, but sometimes you're going to have to wait on ministry. You're going to have to wait on it. Now, if you're in that position where you're feeling a push and a press to go forth, and you've been humble, you've been submitted, you've been honorable in your home, then I think that that's when you sit your husband down with your pastor and allow your pastor to work with your husband, and both of you come to an agreement with the pastor. If that doesn't work, then keep praying. You know, I'm not going to tell you to usurp your husband, and I'm not going to tell you to usurp the pastor, and I'm not going to tell you to usurp God. If God has told you to do something, he usually fixes the rules, the laws, and those in authority to allow you to do what you got to do. Even Jesus was able to pay his taxes. That was man's law. That was man's rule. But Zipporah saved Moses. God was going to kill Moses. God called Moses. He anointed Moses. He blessed Moses. He told Moses to go and talk to Pharaoh. But if it wasn't for his wife, God would have killed him because he did not circumcise the boy. So that means that God looks at how the family is organized and put together, and he's looking at how a pastor or minister treats the respect of his family. He's very serious about that. Pastors who claim that your wife is your first lady, third lady, 10 lady, I don't know. But God does look at how you respect the things of your home above your ministry.
Mm-hmm.
If your ministry is above your home ministry, it's out of order.
Mm-hmm.
Apostle, you got anything? I missed anything?
No, you pretty much covered that. I mean, the Bible says that to some, I mean, you got to wait for your ministry. And the Bible also declares that if a woman is with an unbelieving husband, that doesn't just discuss an unequal yoking. It discusses a process where we don't believe the same thing. We're not on the same page. How do you know whether you might win him or you might bring him into the proper place by just your chaste conversation? I mean, you may not be on the same page today, but how you handle what page you're on and how you handle the interaction of that situation is going to affect whether he even comes into the knowledge. First of all, it's like the chief said, you need to know that this is your mate. And I think sometimes people are not going through the resume process properly. They're not going through that process to understand who this person is and what has God said. That's always a priority for me, because I've done it enough times to know that if I don't find out what God is saying, and I'm in trouble out the gate. So what is God saying? And if he's saying something specific, even if you identify some things or some flaws or some things that are not where you need them to be right this moment, if God is saying it's a green light, if God is saying that this is who your mate is, then you're going to need to just follow the instruction of God in that season and trust that if God is saying that this is your mate, he's going to work out all the details. That's where I'm at on that, Chief.
Well, I totally agree. And I think that the fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And
yes,
if it may be just the first trial of your ministry begins at
absolutely
home.
Absolutely.
You know,
come on.
And sometimes our ministries must stand trial. You know, it's
yes
going to stand some tests. It's going to stand some pushing and some, you know, prodding. And sometimes mm-hmm you got to learn how to do certain things, you know. So certain things could be, you know, how you honor your leader. Well, you can know how
yes
you honor your leader by how you honor your husband. You know, you how do you balance between marriage and ministry? You know, you learn that because of how you handle the things at home and then handle the things pertaining to the Lord. You know, you can't say, well, baby, I can't do whatever you're asking me to do because I'm going on a revival for 3 weeks. You know, so it's got to be a balance, or there's going to be issues. So I would encourage you to, you know, make sure that your calling is an election. Sure, I would tell you to make sure that you're before the Lord and that you stand in liberty where Christ has made you free, and make sure that your prayer life is right and your spirit walk is up and that you're doing what God wants you to do. So I hope I've answered your question. My prayers will be with you, and I thank God for you. I have a special guest on the line. She's not really a guest. She's been on our broadcast hundreds of times, probably. She's ministered on our broadcast many times. She's not only one of our ministers, but she's also a tremendous chief armor bearer to me and a friend. I thank God for Elder Nettles. I'm sorry, Elder McComb. Elder McComb, God forgive me. She is married.
Thank you, Jesus.
And I'm trying to keep her in her old life. Look at that. But I thank God for the woman of God. And
come on out of here.
She's an awesome woman of God. But she said something to me. She calls and checks up on me every week or so. And like I said, she's probably one of the chief armor bearers, if not the chief armor bearer that I've had in the ministry over the years.
Thank you, Jesus.
She has been one that will pray and will call to find out if her prayers are in operation in this season. And she said something to me a couple of weeks ago, and I haven't been able to shake it. And she's on the line now. I can't explain it, but I can't shake it. So I want her to come and bake it and break it so we can get all of us to get it. God bless you, Elder McCone. How you doing?
Bless you.
Doing well, God, Bishop. How are you this evening?
All is well. Thank you. All is well. Thank you so much for coming out for us tonight on the broadcast. Could you please tell me about, teach us all about the trees? It happened right after the storm. She called and checked up on me, and she was explaining this to me. Go ahead. God bless you, Elder McComb.
To God be the glory, and God bless each and every one. And I thank you, Bishop, for allowing me the opportunity. I'm honored. I'm humbled. When Matthew, the storm Matthew came through, and after the waters had subsided some, and my husband and I were out traveling again, and we were going to an appointment, and just noticing as we traveled along how the trees were just uprooted and laying on their sides. And as we traveled along and I observed, and I'm saying, okay, God, I'm watching this and I'm meditating on this thing and talking to the Lord about it, and continued seeing this thing. And it was like God had come by and just picked them up and laid them on their side. So I'm watching this and I'm saying, okay, God, because I know God speaks in everything if you have an eye to see and an ear to hear. And what the Lord showed me was he showed me the trees being uprooted. And I know that God likens men unto trees. And as I continued meditating on this thing, the Lord allowed me to know that the trees are uprooted, and he said shallow because they have no depth.
That's right.
I watched the trees and the trees laying on their sides, and many of the trees, I looked at the root of the tree and I saw where some of them were quite wide. But as I looked at them, there was little root. There was no depth to them. The Lord said, shallow, no depth. He allowed me to know that he is uprooting, because there are many who are shallow in their faith and they have no depth. And God would, he desires that we would launch out and get deeper in him, like the palm tree where the roots go deep. There are many in high places
that
are being uprooted, will be uprooted, because they're shallow and there's no depth in them. Even as I shared with a pastor, and I was excited about it, because, you know, God is showing me this, there's shallowness. People are so shallow, there's no depth in them. And I shared it with the pastor, and I was excited about it, but when I shared it with him, he proceeded to tell me about a sermon that he had preached. He did not grasp the revelation of it.
My God.
With the shout. And I thought to myself, you're shallow too.
Absolutely.
Because you don't understand. God wants us to be rooted and grounded in him. So that when the storms of life come, that we will not be moved like the palm tree that's rooted and grounded and its roots go deep. The winds come, the rains come, and they'll sway and they'll bow almost down to the earth, but they'll get back up. They won't break.
God.
And this is what the Lord showed me. He wants us to be rooted and grounded, but many are going to be uprooted. They think that they're grounded. They think that their roots go deep, but their roots do not go deep. And that's what the Lord showed me.
Amen. Amen. Oh, my God. Thank you so much for that revelation. That is a powerful, powerful truth.
Yes, it is.
That we have been in. You know, actually, the Faith Ambassadors started in February of this year. We have just launched a ministry, but Tree of Agape Life was aware in January. The websites and all of that stuff was announced in February, but back in that season of last year, the Lord had been dealing with me about trees that have shallow roots, that they are not deep enough to stand the storm. And I didn't know, you know, exactly, you know, what it meant. I knew there were some things about it, but it was really, really in my spirit. And then as Elder McCone began to expound on it, it finally released that word that was in my belly all that time, that, you know, the trees not only represent man, but they represent ministries that are weak and shallow and that are not going to be able to stand the test of this season, this time, these storms that the church is going through. I noticed when the man came in to the AME church in Charleston, how the church coddled up, and the churches in this area, they were docile. They did not take a stand when he was being sought after, and then when they posted bond for him and, you know, things like that, the church was very weak. We didn't come together like we should have, but we, that was the only time that I can remember that we came together in any way at all, but it became such a political thing. And the bishop of the AME, he did such a wonderful job. But I'm just saying that your ministry that you go to has to be your ministry in your heart. And if you go to a church that's not the ministry of your heart, where it may be a good church where they're doing some good stuff, and I'm not knocking it, but it's not the church that's doing what it needs to do for you to go higher in the Lord. And that makes you shallow. That makes your roots weak when you're connected to a ministry where you aren't supposed to be there. Elder McComb, various ones on the line will tell you, I will push you out of our ministry. I'm not worried about, you know, one staying or one going or whatever, because I'm looking for the ones who are obedient to God. And when it comes to preachers, the one question I'm going to always ask you preachers, and I've got over 200 of ours on the line, the one thing I'm going to always ask you is, did God tell you to be here?
Mm-hmm.
Did God tell you to be here? I want to know why you are here, because you might be needed in the Baptist church. You might be needed over there in the Episcopal church or somewhere else where you might be able to get some folks saved and do something, you know, because I want to know, what is your motivation? What's your why are you here? If it's here because I'm a preacher and I can hoop a little bit, I'm not going to always do that. You know, so that's not a good reason. And you can go on any number of, you know, places and get that kind of entertainment. What's most important in this season is that you're in a place where you are called to be. It may not even be the place you like to be, but question is, are you called? Are you anointed to be where you are? And that is the important question. Sometimes we can say, okay, well, I don't like Pastor such and such. I was in church, and the pastor groped my wife. And he groped my wife and put his tongue in her mouth. And she fought it off, whatever, got upset, came home, told me such and such and so and so did such and such and so and so. And here I am, you know, military guy, and I'm, you know, like, are you crazy? You know, so I wanted to do all these things, but in my heated rage, when I got into the car, I was headed to the Bible study to do something to him. The Lord said, not only are you going to go to Bible study and sit in the Bible study and obey in the Bible study, you're going to obey this man of God. You're going to obey him until I release you from him. And my little 25-year-old self was like, what? No, I'm not. You know, I'm not. I'm not going to. No, Lord, this ain't. Am I really hearing the Holy Ghost? I mean, I was really upset. But this is what God wanted. He wanted me in that situation. And like I often tell preachers, especially prophets, we experience the feelings of God. We experience the feelings of God. We go through trials. We go through struggles and tribulations that display the feelings of God. So you may have to marry a gomer. You may have to be involved with preaching to a nation that you don't want to even deal with. You may have to feel depressed and be or feel like you want to cry all the time, like the weeping prophet. You may want to cry for your wife after she dies, but God say, no, I don't want you crying at all. Go out and prophesy and preach what I told you to preach, like Ezekiel's wife. So there will come times in your life you're going to be tested. You're going to be tried. If you're in the right ministry, that pastor is equipped to love you and to trust you and to honor the work that God has called to your hands. If you're in the wrong church, if you're in the wrong place, or your season has expired in a church, then you will find yourself having struggles, and you'll find yourself critiquing, you'll find yourself looking at everything instead of looking at God. So I would encourage you to make sure that you are, your calling is an election sure in every area, whether it's your faith walk or whether it is any other area of your life in the ministry. So I thank God tonight again for my sister and my friend, Elder McCone, and she has She's the only female armor bearer that I've had over the years, and one of the few people, few women that I have allowed close to me that I know I can trust to watch my back and, you know, to make sure that the sisters act right. Y'all know she got to
come
do
on.
That sometimes. So I thank
come
God
on.
For her. Amen.
Bless you.
She takes care of me really well. So, and you all can hear her depth. You can hear the anointing in her words
yes.
and in her voice. So there's no question about it. She is certainly a seer and a woman of God. So I thank God for her tonight. Go with me to the book of Galatians, chapter number 6. Galatians, chapter number 6. Preachers. Aspiring to be preachers. Let's look at some scripture. And while you're getting there, I ended up staying with that church for about, I think about a year after he did that. Not only did I have to stay at the church, I was his armor bearer, and I would wash his car every week. I would pick him up for church every Sunday morning, and I was chief of his security at the church. And I took care of that man like he was a baby boy, and knowing that he had done what he did. At the end, when the Lord did finally release me, I went to him. He had told me, if anybody calls, tell them I'm not here. And that is when that was the last draw. The Lord had already given me permission to leave. And I said, Bishop, you know, I never lied for you. And I'm not going to start lying for you now. In fact, I'm not going to be here. I'm leaving the church. But before I go, I want you to know that as a member of yours, I'm not going to hurt you right now. I'm not going to break you up in little pieces like I feel like doing. And I served you for over a year knowing what you did to my wife. She didn't keep nothing from me. I knew the whole time. Well, I don't know what you're talking about. That's what he said to me. Well, we're not going to get into all of that. You just asked me to lie to everybody that called. So we're not going to think that you won't lie. So we're not going to get into that. But I'm leaving your church. But I just want you to know that God has shown you great mercy on this day.
Oh.
On this day, God has shown you great mercy.
Mm-hmm.
Over the year, I've seen a lot of things, but I was obedient to God when I was washing your car and taking you to places you had to go. I was being obedient to God. So I would let people know here that's a part of this ministry, and you may be a part of another ministry. There are times when God will call you to be a part of a church where things are awry. After that situation, about 4 months later, I believe it was, that January, they made me a bishop. And I thank God for that time of training under that man that I felt was so defiled and so disrespectful, but I had to be humble and I had to sit under that while God was working out some stuff in me. Amen. And obedience is better than sacrifice. And
Amen.
Because of that, I was raised up to a higher position than him. And he was, you know, and I was put in a position where I was able to, you know, easily see the things that he had done and decide I wasn't going to be that. So, you know, for all of these years, you know, people wonder how do I, you know, stay away from the women in the church or whatever. It's easy because I had a pastor taught me. He taught me real well because he was with all the women in the church. So because of the way he did it, I just was clear in my mind that this is not how I'm going to do it. And I made up my mind a long time ago to keep my hands off of God's women, you know. So that is how we have carried this ministry, and that is how we're going to continue to carry it and until the Lord sends us back to glory. Amen. So let's go to the Word of God. Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 9. Let's go to verse number 8. Let's might as well go to verse number 7. I'm sorry.
Absolutely.
Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall also of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth of the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing. I'll say that one more time.
Yes,
let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not.
Yes.
As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, but especially.
Yes.
Somebody say especially. Especially. Unto them who are of the household of faith. Amen. Especially them. Make sure that while you're doing good to everybody else, you make sure that you do good to your own people at the same time. All right. Let's look at this word. The reason that I'm bringing this word to you tonight is because you as preachers, many times, every time I ordain someone, I smack them. It's not a difficult, hard thing. I put my hands on their face. And the reason I do it is because I want this to be the worst experience that you've gone through. Because the people of God are going to smack you too. So let's get it out the way. I'm going to go ahead and do this for you. You've already experienced the worst that it could be. You know, that's, you become a good driver after you've had your first accident. You become a good motorcycle rider after you've fallen once or twice.
Uh-huh.
Or you become a good preacher after you've been smacked down a few times. It's just how it works. Your days are not always going to be easy as a minister, and there will be times in your ministry where you are going to be put in a situation where you are going to have to be humble. The truth of the matter is that in order to be a good minister, I'm not talking about a popular minister. I'm not talking about an entertainment minister. But in order to be a good minister, there will be times where you are going to have to go through humbling periods to bring the meekness out of you.
Amen.
There is relevance to your meekness because you are waiting for your due season. But in the process of your due season, you can't have a due season for stuff that has not been brought to fruit, brought to fruition. You can't have fruit without soil growing a seed that has been planted.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to know, everybody on this line, that everything you think, everything you say, and everything you do is a seed. It's a seed. It's growing in some way.
Mm-hmm.
Your meekness is your character. However, the things you do through that meekness is a seed. So my character will produce certain kinds of fruit for me.
Mm-hmm.
So based upon my character, which I can call my character my soil, because
mm-hmm.
it is in the soil that it determines what the root of the tree is going to be able to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't have fruit with weak roots.
Mm-hmm.
So here we have that in order for you to have the kind of fruit that makes a difference in the world, you are going to have the kind of soil character that causes you to be able to nourish the proper seeds that are coming from your heart and your hands and your feet and your mouth. You don't want to just be a great orator. You don't want to just be one who can syllogistically define scripture. But preachers, you want to be the one who has gone through some things. And through your experience, you have developed a character that is able to create a soil that will produce some kind of root where your fruit can grow.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to just be a good orator. I'm reminded of a story. This man who was on death row. And the old chaplain came to him and said,
mm-hmm.
can I read you a scripture? And the man on death row said, go ahead, man. Go ahead, do whatever you want to do. I'm getting ready to die anyway. And the man said to him, he opened up his Bible, and he said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me. And the man going to the death penalty said, man, please stop. Get out of my face. I don't want to even hear that mess. Just get him out of here. I don't even want to hear him. But as they began to walk him down the aisle so that he could go to the death penalty, another preacher came up to him and said, sir, can I say something to you before you go to your eternity? And the man said, you can say it. Go ahead, man. The old preacher said, I know something about what you're feeling right now. And he said, no, you don't know what I'm feeling. He said, yes, I do know what you're feeling right now, because I've had to come from death to life myself. And I had to go through some valleys, and I had to go through some experiences. And what it has produced in me today is that the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want.
Mm-hmm.
It is he that maketh me lie down in green pastures. And I want you to understand that wherever you're going in your life right now, you can go in green pastures and still waters, even into your eternity.
Mm-hmm.
And the man listened to all of the verses of that psalm, and he came back to the man and he said, well, how do I get this green pasture stuff that you're talking about? Because I've been living hell all my life. And the man said, you can have it, son. All you got to do, and you ain't got long, but all you got to do right now is say, in the name of Jesus, forgive me for my sins, and know that, Lord, I have sinned before you and before man, and I ask you, God, because I believe that you lived, you died, and you rose again for me. Do you believe that, son? The man with tears in his eyes, he said, yes, I do believe it. And at that very moment, all that mean stuff, all that ugly stuff, fell off of him like a ton of bricks. Why? Because you can be a good orator without the anointing.
Yes, God.
But the anointing destroys yokes.
Yes.
But
yes,
you
sir.
Can't have anointing if you don't have the character to be able to stand under that kind of anointing. Think about it. Moses was the greatest prophet to ever live.
Mm-hmm.
He was a great prophet. But the Bible says something amazing about Moses. He was also the most humble man in the earth.
Mm-hmm.
How do you know he was humble? He didn't have to fight his battles. He didn't have to go through all kinds of things in order to prove that he the Lord. Moses loved God, and Moses stood on the authority of God's word, and when his enemies came in like a flood, it was the Spirit of the Lord that lifted up a standard. It was the Spirit of the Lord that fought against his enemies. It was the Spirit of the Lord that dictated what God would do with his enemies. It was not Moses taking vengeance on somebody. It wasn't Moses that was fighting against one or another, but God used Moses in a way because God could trust Moses not based on his humility. Mm-hmm. The reason that so many ministries don't go forth is because of your humility is not operating in a place where it is causing your soil to cultivate your anointing. So I dare you to understand in here tonight that in order for you to have the kind of ministry that causes yokes to be destroyed, I'm not talking about entertaining people. I'm not talking about hooping and hollering on a stage. I'm not talking about running down the aisle and all of that stuff. You'll do all of that. But what God is looking for is somebody who can say, Lord, when I pray, will you listen to me?
Yes, God.
Will you honor me when I pray? Will you obey? Will you be the one to obey God in everything? Or will you be the one that is subject to your emotions, subject to your own feelings, subject to your ups and downs of dealing with people? I'm talking about cultivating soil now. Because mm-hmm. the cultivating of the soil of your life, the cultivating of the soil of your ministry is going to determine what kind of fruit you're going to bring forth. Because I'm trying to minister to some preachers on here tonight that you got to understand, in order for God to get glory out of my life, this can't be about me. I can't seek my own glory. I can't seek my own opportunities. I can't seek my own development. I'm not trying to develop some new thing. I'm trying to do what God thing is for my life. And in order for me to do that, I've got to be humble enough, not only for God to operate in me, but in order for me to be used by God, I've got to be usable.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody mm-hmm. can entertain people. Anybody can put on a stage play. The question is, does the anointing on your life destroy yokes to the point that your shadow is healing people? Is the anointing on your life so vicious that the hem of your robe is healing folk? Is the anointing so vicious on your life that your handkerchief is causing some folk to be delivered? If God is going to use you in this season, he's returning us to the hem. He's returning us to the shadow. He's returning us to the place where your handkerchief should have some kind of authority. Everything you touch needs to be blessed.
Thank you, Jesus.
That's what God is looking for in this season. He's bringing the church back in North America to a house of miracles, a house where his praise and deliverance is operating on a regular basis.
Thank you, Jesus.
He is God is so God that he's saying, I'm not even just going to do it in church. I'm going to do it through the internet. I'm going to do it through telephones. I'm going to do it when people walking down the street, and all of a sudden they're going to get a stream. Y'all ain't saying nothing to me.
That's it.
Glory to God.
God is looking for, in this season, a prayed up soil. A prayed up soil. So what God is saying in this season is that instead of trying to get your degree in theology, God is saying you need to go get you a degree in neology. You need to get on your face before God. You need to get down low before God. You need to pour out all of it before God. You need to be able to be so strong and so tough that you can cry in front of God and know that, God, I need you to hear me. I need you to listen to me. And God is saying, that's my baby boy right there. That's my baby girl right there. I can work with them because they come to me like a little child.
Yes. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Hallelujah.
Go ahead, Apostle.
You hit the nail on the head, Chief, talking about this fruit and its availability to be usable. It's so important that as men and women of God that we have fruit that's edible. It definitely cannot be malnourished, and the soil is important for that. What's in the soil determines how the potential that's in the plant is actually actualized. If the soil is not full of the nutrients that are necessary to build that plant's structure, then it doesn't matter how much potential is in the seed. It'll never come to its full term. It'll never come to its full potential because the soil that it's in is not giving it the nourishment that it needs to come to its full potential. So it can't be malnourished. The soil can, and neither can the fruit, because we're talking about edible fruit. You don't ever want to pick too quick the fruit. You know, a lot of people just don't have the patience. We're talking about sowing and reaping today. A lot of people don't have the patience to wait on the fruit to grow. And it definitely can't be spoiled, because can't nobody eat that either. Can't nobody eat that. It was a couple things that you guys hit on from the beginning that I wanted to go back to before I proceed, because this word, Chief, really blessed me today, Galatians chapter 6. It really blessed me this afternoon as I was reading it this afternoon. So I'm thankful that you are bringing this word tonight, because I believe that it's going to bless a whole lot more people. And
Amen.
We want you to know tonight that when you come on this line, we're not just trying to give you information. We want to bring you to a place of transformation. And that happens as you hear the word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we want to bring you a word that's not just based on our eloquence of speech. And he already hit on that. Anybody can entertain. It's not just about your eloquence of speech. Paul made the statement that, listen, we don't come to you in excellency of words, but in power and demonstration of the Spirit. That's what we're about here. At Faith Ambassadors, we're not interested just in your ability to exegete. We're not just interested in your ability to dissect the scripture and do a bunch. Is there any power behind what you're doing? You know, you could say the right thing the wrong way. You could say the right thing in the wrong spirit, and it just not be received. It's not edible. But I wanted to go back to these trees again, because, you know, God had been dealing with me over the months about him shutting down these churches, and that the season of Eli and his sons was coming to an end. And of course we know that Saul is dying in this season. And it's so important. That we understand that it made me think about this song, woman of God, when you started mentioning these trees. I was thinking about this song, I shall not be moved. And when I went to that, the verse continues and says, like a tree that's planted by the waters. That's in Psalms chapter 1. It talks about a tree that's planted by the rivers of water that bring forth its fruit perpetually. That in its season doesn't mean it has seasons. It's talking about a perpetuity. So if you go and study that out, you'll find out that word means eternally. So, but it's planted by the rivers of water, and it brings forth perpetual fruit. But this thing planted by the waters is a place of refreshing. One of the reasons why these churches are being shut down, one of the reasons why these pastors are being uprooted, yes, there's no depth in them, but they're also not refreshing themselves. A lot of men and women of God think that they can just go and go and go. I don't know what y'all think. Y'all are superstars, Superman. I don't know what it is. But the real Superman gets in the presence of God. Jesus was the real Superman. You hear what I'm saying? He understood that I'm going to do what I got to do with the multitudes. I'm going to do what I got to do with the disciples. But when I get done with all that I'm doing, because I'm doing the Father's business, then it's going to require that I go away to a place. Hallelujah. I go away to a place just to get in his presence. I need to be like a tree that's planted by a place of refreshing. I need his refreshment. I need him to pour this water on me. I need him to bring me back to life, to make sure that my roots are receiving the proper water so that I can continue to flourish and to fruit, an edible fruit for men to hear and see. Now, you understand what I'm saying? And so that thing about the tree is so powerful. The other thing that it brought me to was Mark chapter 8, where Jesus touches this man's eyes. He heals this blind man in Mark chapter 8. He heals the blind man. But this is the part that I think is so miraculous, because a lot of times people think because Jesus laid his hands on the man's eyes twice that it didn't work the first time. No, it actually worked the first time. He was actually healed the first time. But his issue was that he couldn't see properly. He wasn't seeing like he needed to see. And I want to talk to the leaders tonight, because you might be able to see some things, but God desires you to see a certain way.
That's
he
right.
desires you to see through his lens. He desires you to see through what he desires for his people. You're the under-shepherd. He's the shepherd, and he's going to provide for you what he wants the sheep to eat. So you got to see it his way. You know, you got to see it his way. I want to read that verse just so you see what I'm talking about. It says here in Mark chapter 8, verse 22, and they came to Bethsaida, and some people brought to him a blind man and begged him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the village. First of all, he took the blind man out of his normal condition. He took him out of his normal habitat. Are you listening to what I'm saying? He took him out of his normal habitat. And then he led him out of the village. And then he spit on his eyes. Spit on his eyes. Now, he didn't say he spit on the ground. He spit on his eyes. Now, can you imagine this man is blind? And a lot of times I want to say this to you people of God. Y'all want to do canned stuff. You want to do bottled stuff. But I don't remember Jesus doing any miracle the same. I'm just saying. I know we got people all over the world that do the same old thing over and over again. But I'm saying that God is so vast and he's so amazing. He will give you what to do for each specific person, because he doesn't do the same thing twice. He doesn't have the need for that, because it's based on what God is telling him to do, and it's based on the power that's in him. It's according to the power that's working in him that he's operating in. He led him out of the village. He spit on his eyes. Can you imagine this man being blind and all he hears, that's, hold on, wait a minute. Hold on 1 second. Is this guy about to spit on me? He spit on his eyes and he laid hands on him and he asked me, do you see anything? That's the first thing he asked him. So this was a process. And we're talking about seed time and harvest. We're talking about all of this. And I'm talking about a process now. He said, do you see anything? And this is what the man said. He looked up and said, I see people. He said, I see men, but they look like trees. But they're looking like trees. Can I tell you something? Now, we use the scenario that men, you know, that the Bible refers to men as trees, but in reality, men are men. That's just a scenario. It's just a likeness thing. And God wanted him to see properly. So he laid his hands on his eyes again, and he opened his eyes, and his sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly.
Clearly.
Mm-hmm. Tonight, I need you to understand that there are some times that you're not seeing things clearly. And God desires to lay his hands on your eyes again. Don't think because you got the first touch and you can see that was enough. That's why we need to be in the presence of the Lord continually and consistently. We need to be praying without ceasing so that we can see clearly what God is saying to us. See clearly what he's saying to us. Chief, I want to go back to Galatians chapter 6.
Go ahead.
The Bible talks about in verse 7, it says, be not deceived. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. The Bible says, don't be defrauded. Don't cheat yourself. Don't be swindled. Don't be beguiled. When we think about that word, don't be deceived, we can go all the way back to Genesis chapter 3 and look at the fall and how that happened, how Satan beguiled Eve. She was deceived into believing a thing that was not true. God is saying here, don't believe a thing that's not true, because I'm never going to be made fun of. You're never going to make fun of me. You're never going to scorn me. I'm God, and I'm telling you right now that whatever you're sowing, that's what's going to happen. That's what's going to come forth. As a farmer, when you plant a seed, you already have identified the seed that you're planting. Even if you go out and scatter, no matter what form of farming you use, you have the seeds in your hand, and you know the name of those seeds, so that when you scatter those seeds, you know what to expect. You've sown, and you're going to reap what you've sown. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It says, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. That's just, those are just the facts. If you sow to your flesh, what's going to be reaped is corruption. If flesh is your priority in your ministry, if that's your priority, it's sowing to your flesh, figuring out what you can get out of everybody. It's so sad. This is why one of the reasons why God is uprooting these shallow people, because shallow people are seeking to get what they can get out of people. They're not concerned. The Bible says, look not every man on his own things, but also on the things of others. And a shepherd is supposed to be an example to the flock, not seeking to consume them, not seeking to bite them, to devour them, to eat them. God is saying, listen, if you sow to your flesh, if you're just seeking to sow into yourself and reap all of the benefits, then all you're going to get at the end of that thing is corruption. But if you sow to the Spirit, you're going to reap life everlasting. That's an eternal thing. That's where eternity happens. It happens in spiritual things. It happens in the spirit realm. The Bible declares that we lay not up for ourselves treasures on earth, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where moth and dust does not corrupt it. There's no corruption in the place of the Spirit where you lay up things. But that thing that you laid up in the Spirit can be manifested in the earth and still be eternal. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Verse 9, this is the thing that blessed me so much today. Verse 9, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. This thing so blessed me today. I promise you, I feel like running in place right now. I shared this thing earlier, and it's so amazing to me. He said, listen, don't be tired of doing the right thing. You know what, preachers? You can look at all of the different preachers on TV and all the preachers that sold out, because they're sellouts. A lot of them are sellouts. They've been bought and they've been paid for. They've decided, instead of being like Moses, the most humble man in the earth, who decided that what he got in Pharaoh's house was not more important than him doing the will of God concerning the people of God. Are you listening to what I'm saying? He decided that that's not more important. He wasn't weary in doing the right thing. He said, listen, it took him a minute to get there, so it may be a process. He said, listen, I can't talk, God. He made a bunch of excuses. Yes, he did. But when he got his mind right, when he wrapped his mind around what God was saying, and he decided, I'm going to do this thing that God has called me to do. You can't be weary in doing the right thing. Can I tell you what the right thing is? The thing that God told you to do. You can't liken your ministry to anybody else's ministry. You can't say, well, this worked for them. I'm listening to preachers in this season talk about not reinventing the wheel. You're never reinventing the wheel when you're just being obedient to the plan that God gave you for the ministry that you're running. You're not reinventing the wheel. You're just obeying God. You can't just randomly go and take bits and pieces from every ministry across the country and say, well, it worked for them, so it's going to work for us. That is not how that works. The Bible declares that you write the vision and make it plain. Can I tell you something? It's not your vision. It's not even your vision. It's the vision that God has for those people. Anytime that God wanted to deliver a people, anytime that God wanted to create a nation, he raised up a man. But guess whose vision it was? It was still God's vision. He gave the vision to the man, and the man then wrote the vision and make it plain. He then recants the vision, just like what prophets do. It's the oracles of God, but it's God downloading into the man or the woman of God what it is he wants to say concerning the people or what he wants to say to the people. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So he said, don't Amen. Be weary in doing the right thing, because there's a season that's going to come that you're going to reap. You're going to gather all of the things that you've planted, all of the things that you've sown. You're going to reap it if you just don't pass out in the process. If you can just not faint.
Thank you, Jesus.
But these are principles of process. Everything has a process. This going from seed time to harvest. Are you listening to me? And you can't get irritated because you're in the planting season and you're upset because you're like, I'm ready to harvest. Planting season ain't the time to harvest. You can't get upset when it's time to water. I need a harvest. That's great. You're going to get there. But right now it's time to water. It's not time for harvest. if you continue in this process, the Bible declares that that hope deferred makes the heart grow sick. This is why you faint, because your hope, your expectation has been postponed, and now you're sick about it. Well, you don't have to be sick about the thing. Just understand where in the process you are. And if you can identify what part of the season you're – seasons have sections. They're partitioned off. So even in the season when I'm growing corn, I'm planting the seed. I'm waiting for it to take root, to germinate then. And then when it comes up out of the ground, now I'm waiting on the next process, which is for it to begin to leaf. And then I'm waiting for the next process, which is – more growth and more leaves so that it can begin to fruit. But it's a process, and you've got to identify what stage of the process you're in so that you don't get weary and faint. Chief Apostle, I got more to say, but I think you got something to say.
No, all of these things are part of character building.
Yes.
You would be surprised that those things that God will allow you to go through, and those seasons that God will allow you to go through those things. And while you're looking at your situation, God is saying, I want you to get revelation.
Thank you, Jesus.
So many times we get stagnant in our situation and we miss the revelation.
Yes, Jesus.
It is the situation that brings revelation, God's experiences that brings me into God's expectation for my life.
Yes, God.
It's those experiences. So as I'm trying to deal with reaping what I've sown, I'm trying to take you back all the way to the core of it. I'm trying to take you back to the foundation of it, and the core of what you're going to reap is based on the character in which you cause your fruit to grow. If your fruit is growing from a soil that comes from being an entertainer, then so be it. And that's what you're going to get. You're going to get a lot of money. You're going to get a lot of cars. You're going to get a lot of fame. You're going to get a lot of wealth. You're going to be a great entertainer. Great. But if your soil is developed from the fact that you were homeless at one time.
Hey.
If your soil comes because you're converted Hindu, you're converted Satan worshiper, you're converted whatever you are, now your soil is being developed from your testimony.
Yes, God.
Because your testimony has developed your character, and your testimony has developed the praise.
Yes.
Some of your soil comes from your Judas.
Yes, God. Yes, God.
I know you don't like that. I know that's uncomfortable. I know it don't feel good, but the truth of the matter is that sometimes our soil is being developed because Judas had he done kissed me on the cheek and he done betrayed me. Judas done told them people where I am. I ate with Judas. I loved Judas. I ministered to Judas. I was with Judas. Judas has been with me, and I care for Judas, but Judas is my betrayer.
Yes.
Can nobody bring you closer to God than somebody who betrays you?
I promise
you. True. Amen. That's right.
It's a real
but
point.
Until you get to the place where you can say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
Yes,
God.
Your character still got some work to do.
Jesus.
Your soil is still, let's look at the fruit of that. When Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, that word was so catastrophic to the kingdom of Satan that even though the devil might have wanted, he might have thought, I got one more shot, we'll kill him. And when we kill him, then he'll come in bitterness, and then we can ridicule, we can put this, we can accuse the brethren, we can accuse the saints because Jesus did this. But the Bible says that Jesus stood there and said, Father, forgive them because they don't even know what they're doing.
Thank you, Jesus.
It is your ability to move outside of your situation that's going to cause catastrophic damage.
Yes, God.
To the devil's kingdom.
Yes,
you
God.
Want your fruit to come from a root where the blessing of the Lord
yes.
has caused you to wake up in the morning at 3-4 o'clock in the morning.
Yes.
Where your loneliness
Jesus.
Has turned into a longing for God.
Oh my God.
Where your desperation has turned into a dexterity because you trust God. Where your dependence on men turn into a dependence on God. These things now develop a character of discipline.
Oh,
Jesus.
And that discipline now says, when I want to cuss you out, that discipline says I'm going to bless you anyhow.
Yes.
That humility that says, when you, I should rebuke you, sit you down, lock you up, whatever. The humility of it says, no, I won't do that because there's a better way. I'm thinking about your soul, not your punishment.
Come on.
Hey, am I in the right church here?
Yeah.
Because so many times we are so busy allowing our feelings to make decisions.
Yes, sir.
That we can't even get God the glory. That any ministry that don't give God the glory, or that he's not getting the glory from, that's that soil right there. Beautiful building. Beautiful church building. There ain't nothing moving inside of it.
Ichabod.
Jesus.
The presence of the Lord is gone.
Mm-hmm.
There's no power. There's no transition. There's no... That's that church right there where when the homosexual comes, he's not welcome there.
Yep.
When the liar, the thief, the robber, when these people come, they're not welcome
Amen.
There because that church Amen. Says that you got to have it together because we're on camera here.
Oh, God.
Faith ambassadors say, come to us. Because you ain't going to stay like that. Because by the time the word of God hits you under the anointing, something's going to change in your life.
Absolutely.
You see, when I can love you in spite of you, and then when you get it and you get delivered and you get set free, then you go out and do the same thing, and we multiply the ministry. We multiply the favor. We multiply the grace.
That's it.
That's what God is going to get the glory from. He's not going to get the glory because I judge you. Oh, you, I'm better than you. You got issues. You got this going on or that going on. Listen, get delivered right then and there. Right then and there. I'm going to look down on you because you don't do it the way I do it. The devil is a liar.
Jesus.
Listen. Our time has come and it has gone. I'm going to give final words. And we didn't even deal with it. We didn't even get into this. We didn't even touch this. We so busy in the soil, we can't even get to the fruit yet.
Right.
But I would encourage you all to do this, to make sure that your soil is right.
Yes, God.
Make sure that your soil is right. Apostle was telling me earlier about a seed that you plant simply to mend the soil.
Yes.
It breaks up the soil. The roots in there cause all kind of mess, and it comes up looking like a fruitless nothing of a plant. But what it did in the soil was it tore up some stuff. It nurtured it. It caused it so that when whatever else you plant in it or around it, the environment that it created is positive.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to say something to you. If sometimes God isn't planting a mending seed in you that's causing some stuff around you not to make sense. But when God
yes.
brings you through it, you're going to say all things work together for my good.
That's it.
But there are some seeds that God sends. There's some people that God sends. There's some people
Come
that's going to, they're going to tell you, I love you, I'm with you, and, but they want to use you, they want to violate you,
yes.
they want to betray you.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You see? So what God is calling you to do in this season is to release yourself to the right soil.
Yes, God.
And then you grow out of the character of the anointing of Jesus Christ, Yahshua Messiah. That's what
yeah.
he's looking for. But as long as your seed is coming from bitterness, anger, sin, lust, flesh, material gain, judging others, that's all you're going to produce. You're going to produce what you produce from the inside. That's the kind of pastors, that's the kind of people, that's the kind of members you're going to have. You're going to have folk that you are developing, and they are useless in the kingdom of God.
Flesh folk.
Flesh folk. Elder McCone, I give you
yes.
the final hour. Tonight, I give you the final sayings. Please say your sayings and dismiss us in prayer, and we thank God for you. Go ahead.
To God be the glory. I bless God for you, Bishop. I love you with the love of Christ, and you know I do. And I bless God for the apostle. From the very first time that I heard her, she blessed me and continues to bless me. And I'm honored and I'm humbled that God would even allow me an opportunity to not disconnect from my bishop. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
So I have truly enjoyed it, and each time that I'm able to tune in, I do enjoy, and I get a little bit more because I need this. I need it,
Thank
and
you,
I'm
Jesus.
Grateful for it. So if all hearts and minds are clear, if they would say, I'll pray us out of here.
Amen.
Hallelujah, God. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I bless you, God. Bless you for who you are, God, for how you brought us through this day, God, allowing
Thank
us
you,
to
Jesus.
Be a part of your day, God. Glory to your name, God. Keeping our minds stayed on you, you kept us in peace, God. You revelated things to us. You showed us things, God, that we needed to see, and we heard things that we needed to hear, God. Love has abounded all throughout the day, God. Even throughout the day, captive hearts and minds were set free, God, those that you allowed us to minister to, God. Father God, we were able to embrace and encourage because of your Holy Spirit that's dwelling in us, God. Father, I thank you for these awesome leaders, God, and awesome could not even be a word to describe them, but I thank you for your son, and I thank you for your daughter, and I pray, God, that you will continue to bless them even the more in the name of Jesus, that you shield and protect them, God, from seen and unseen danger, God, that your anointing continue to flow through them, God. Father, I thank you for even allowing me to be a part of it. And I give you glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Glory, God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And finally, all of those who have not taken your opportunity to join into the Faith Ambassadors movement, you have an opportunity to do that. All you have to do is email us at faithambassadors247@gmail.com, faithambassadors247@gmail.com. You can also email me at prophetdaniel611@gmail.com, prophetdaniel611@gmail.com. But to join the ministry, you go through faithambassadors247@gmail.com. They'll review it, they'll go with it, and then they'll send it so that we can get you out a letter to the from the ministry. welcoming you as a member of our ministry. So we thank God for everybody that's on the line, all those who are in cyberspace listening to us, and all of those who are on Twitter and Facebook and various other resources listening to us. We thank God for you. And to those who joined in from our advertisements tonight, we thank God for you, and we pray that the School of the Prophet was a blessing to you. I know that we didn't get to dig into the soil of this message the way that time excluded, but we thank God because it was a good broadcast, and we thank God for the multitude of word that came forth from the broadcast. If you're not a member of this ministry, join the ministry. If you are a minister in this ministry and you need to recertify your ordination or your license or your credentials, whatever they are, you bring your ministry papers and trade them with us, and we will get you a new certificate under the right under the Faith Ambassadors movement. So you want to be a part of the Faith Ambassadors worldwide. Others call us the Faith Ambassadors Ecclesia worldwide. Either way,
yeah,
you're good to go. We're all in the same church. So God bless you. That was a low blow for somebody, but God bless you. But God bless you. Be encouraged, and remember those emails: faithambassador247@gmail.com, faithambassadors with the S on it, 247@gmail.com, and prophetdaniel611@gmail.com. And to those who want to give to this ministry, contact me by email, prophetdaniel611@gmail.com. We'll send you a link, and you can go with us from there. The Lord bless you, keep you, and may heaven smile upon you, and that everything you say and do be blessed. Before you go, please listen to the words of this song before you hang up your phone. God bless you.
God bless
you. Clear the stage and set the sound and lights ablaze. If that's the measure you must take to crush the idols, jerk the pews and all the decorations too, until the congregation's few and have revival. Tell your friends that this is where the party ends. Until you're broken for your sins, you can't be social. And seek the Lord and wait for what He has in store, and know that great is your reward, so just be hopeful, 'cause you can sing all you want to. Yes, you can sing all you want to. You can sing all you want to, still get it wrong. Oh, worship is more than a song. Break from all the plans that you have made, and sit at home alone and wait for God to whisper. I beg Him please to open up His mouth and speak, and pray for real upon your knees until they blister. Shine the light on every corner of your life until the pride and lust and lies are in the open. Then read the word and put to test the things you've heard, until your heart and soul are stirred and rocked and broken. 'Cause you can sing all you want to. Yes, you can sing all you want to. Not even Anything I put before my God is an idol. And anything I want with all my heart is an idol. And anything I can't stop thinking of is an idol. And anything that I give all my love is an idol. 'Cause I can sing all I want to, yes I can.
God bless you. We'll see you on Periscope in just a few minutes.
Clear the stage
and I'll see you soon.
Set the sound in light's place.
God bless.
That's the measure you must take to crush the idols.